This is the sermon from May 31st, 2026. Sermon text is John 3, 1 through 17. We live in a world, in a reality that is full of spiritual truths. Right? These are truths we can't see, we can't measure. Sometimes we can't even comprehend them. They just go beyond our human understanding. I mean, really, think about anything in the spiritual realm. What is an angel? What's it made of? How many of them can dance on the head of a pin, to quote the sometimes maligned question of medieval philosophers? Or how bright is the splendor of heaven? How hot are the fires of hell? You can't answer these questions. You can't make measurements of these things. Or consider the existence of the soul. Only the most hardened of atheists will deny that there is a component to a person that goes beyond flesh and blood. That there is something more to us than just our bodies. And we intuitively know this. Even though we can't take whatever that is and put it on a scale and weigh it or run it through an MRI to see it, we know it's there. The greatest spiritual truth is ultimately God himself. God is spirit. He's not made of physical stuff, though all things, all the stuff, comes from him. His power is beyond our ability to comprehend or put into words. His knowledge is perfect, including everything from the number and position and movement of every star in the cosmos to the count of every hair on the head of every person in the world and the desires of their hearts. God's goodness is absolute, right? Complete perfection, without any flaw or error, or even possibility for improvement. His glory is so great that we cannot, as we are now, look on him and live. As the creator of all that is, God's impression, his fingerprints, if you will, are left throughout his creation. Right? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork, David confesses in the Psalms. In the hearts of men, there remains a conviction that he is there. Even among pagan peoples lost in darkness, there remains a conviction that there is a God, or gods, right? Though they've warped and twisted the truth, in other words, conformed these to their own sinful ideas. Indeed, it is sin that keeps us from seeing the full glory of God. It's our sin that separates us from him. It's our sin that places us in spiritual darkness. Yet, as the Father, who is perfect in power and knowledge and goodness, he is also perfect in love. And it grieves him to see those whom he made to dwell with him in peace and joy be separated from him. And so, as we know from the beloved verse that was in our gospel reading this morning, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This is an incredible, awesome event, the sending of the Son, for so many reasons. And one of the greatest is that in sending the Son, the Father broke that barrier between heaven and earth, between the spiritual and the material. In the incarnation, the infinite God became a finite man. The fullness of deity dwelled in a mortal body, and at the same time did not lose any of that infinite divine nature. In Jesus Christ, perfect God and perfect man, the unseeable God could be seen. And not just seen, but held, swaddled, rocked. He could be grasped, walked alongside of, dined with. He could be mocked, beaten, crucified. Wrapped up in this great mystery is the fact that the immortal God, the source of life itself, died. And also in this mystery, a dead man came back to life, never to die again. Not just won't die, cannot die. He's a man the grave cannot hold, as St. Peter preached at Pentecost. He's the first fruits of the grave. He's the firstborn from the dead. He is the mortal who has put on immortality. He's the Lamb who was slain, but now who reigns from the throne of heaven forever. All of this, he has done out of love for you. For God so loved the world, and the world includes you. Seems too good to be true, doesn't it? We might sit back with Nicodemus and wonder and say, how can these things be? How can the Almighty Father send the eternal, only begotten Son from heaven to earth for me? This is where we experience the glory and love and goodness of the third person of the Holy Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. It is through Him that we believe. He's the one who comes to us and, through the hearing and preaching of the Word, convicts us of our sins and the guilt that they have incurred against the Holy God. He's the one who works repentance in us, as the Scriptures clearly teach. He's the one who leads us to sorrow over our sins and to ask God to be merciful to us as sinners. The Holy Spirit is then also the one who grants us this forgiveness and peace through the words of absolution, as we call them. Remember, it wasn't just a man, it was God the Son who breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them." It is the Spirit who lets you believe that the words and promises of God are for you. It's the Spirit who causes you to believe that Jesus hung on the cross to take away your sins and rose again to show you what awaits you after you die. It is the Spirit who gives you hope, not in the world's sense of hope as wishful thinking, right, but hope in the heavenly sense of a confidence that is grounded in God Himself, and as such is absolutely sure and certain. It's the Spirit's work to do all of this, because we are not capable of it ourselves. From our very conception, the moment we come into being, our hearts are already corrupted by sin. We're already turned against God. We need new hearts, but we can't get them ourselves. As Jesus pointed out to Nicodemus, that which is born of flesh is flesh. The best efforts of sinful men will always still be sinful, and therefore fall short of the glory of God. But as Jesus also said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It is God the Holy Spirit who comes and gives us new spiritual hearts that truly do delight in God and cling to Him and trust in Him. This is what happens when a person's baptized, or as Jesus puts it, is born of water and the Spirit. In those waters, which, right, water, a very earthly element, in those waters, a heavenly event takes place as the Spirit conceives anew or regenerates spirit in the heart of the baptized. How does that work? Well, it's beyond our understanding in this life. Jesus says, the wind, or really better translated here, the Spirit, right? The Spirit blows where He wishes, and you hear His voice, but you do not know where He comes from or where He goes. It's a mystery, but it's true all the same, because that's how mysteries work. God grants new spiritual hearts and eternal life through water and His Word because He wants to. And He's God, so He does what He pleases. You and I, we don't have to understand. We simply get to rejoice in this incredible gift and give thanks. Give thanks that we can bind the name of the triune God Himself. We sang this in our hymn of the day, right? We can bind the name of God Himself to ourselves, not as just a mere memory or a good luck charm, but the reality that God has joined us to Himself, that God has caused us to be reborn as children in His heavenly household. It's the work of God, the Holy Trinity, to take these glorious heavenly truths and make them earthly realities for us and in us. The Father creates the world for us. He gives His Son for us. He grants us a place in His house and in His family. The Son is the one through whom all things were made, who became man for us and for our salvation, who has gone ahead to prepare a place for us in His Father's house. The Spirit breathed life into that first man. The Spirit recreates us and gives us new life. The Spirit is our comforter and helper and advocate who dwells in our hearts, making our bodies His temple. Each person of the Trinity is at work to create, redeem, and sanctify God's people. None can be separated, dismissed, or diminished without losing the one true God and the salvation He gives. But believing in this truth of who God has revealed Himself to be and what He does, in this truth, we have comfort, hope, and peace that go far beyond our understanding and which will last forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.